killed by Israel Defense Forces in a precise strike in Beirut last night.
Hezbollah confirming the death in what could be the most significant blow after months of fighting. And Israel's attack on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon continuing today. ABC's Tom Sophie Borage has more from Tel Aviv.
Israel warning that wave of attacks overnight in southern Beirut are not the end of its toolbox. But I think here in Israel and across this region, there is unease about what comes next. How will Hezbollah's backer, Iran, respond?
Lebanon's health ministry says more than 720 people have been killed in that country since the conflict with Israel escalated on Monday. This is ABC News. As she has battled criticism for her lack of time on the ground at the border, Vice President Kamala Harris meeting with Border Patrol agents in Arizona Friday evening. ABC's Alex Stone has more on the visit.
After visiting the border for the first time in over 3 years, Vice President Kamala Harris held a campaign event in the border town of Douglas, telling the crowd,
"We must reform our immigration system to ensure that it works in an orderly way, that it is humane, and that it makes our country stronger."
In polling, a wide majority of voters say immigration is a key issue, and former President Trump leads when asked who is best to handle it. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Detroit Judge Kenneth King has been bumped down to traffic division, where he's handling minor offenses like speeding tickets. He had been removed from his courtroom duties after ordering 15-year-old Eva Goodman, who fell asleep, into jail clothes and handcuffs during a live-streamed field trip. The incident sparking outrage. Dave Packer, ABC News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And on drop boxes for absentee ballots. But this past weekend, the mayor of Wausau, a vocal opponent of the option, held a publicized event where he removed one. Sam Liebert, with All Voting is Local, feels it's an extension of those who continue to push false claims about the outcome of the 2020 presidential election.
This is just another part of a larger puzzle of continued voter suppression and trying to have fewer people vote in the upcoming November election.
The mayor defended his actions, insisting he did nothing wrong. Opponents of drop boxes claim they can be tampered with, and prohibiting them can help ensure election integrity. But election policy analysts say they are a proven, safe option. All Voting is Local and other advocates called on state authorities to look into the matter. The local district attorney is pursuing an investigation. Even though the state's highest court made this voting tool legal again, local administrators still have the option to decide whether or not to place them around their communities. Liebert says those in leadership positions and the public should know how beneficial drop boxes are in giving everyone a chance to vote.
They help so many types of voters, whether they're voters with disabilities, they're third shift workers, they're single parents. All types of people benefit from having ballot drop boxes.
Earlier this month, a similar controversy arose over guidance from the Dodge County Sheriff's Office to local election clerks. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Northern Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and a high near 81. Clear tonight, lows around 48. Sunshine and 77 for Sunday. Mostly clear Sunday night with a low around 47. For Monday, sunshine and highs in the mid-70s. Much cooler Tuesday.
It's 48 at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Dan Davies and Craig Kennett talk about their giant spider invasion event. And
the lovable producer Connor will give a full report after watching in person the green and gold take on the purple people eaters.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from Los Angeles, California, this is the Todd Allbaugh Show.
This is L.A.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, live from L.A., it's Todd Allbaugh.
Thanks for tuning in. This is the best of the Todd Allbaugh Show for the last week of September. This week, Todd was on the road to Los Angeles, California, as he likes to say it, to spend some time with Kelly Call, one of the producers of Just a Bit Outside, and just a friend of Todd's, to talk about what it's like to work in TV and what it's like to make an independent movie in 2024. However, there's a bigger reason he's out there, and that's because USC, among other schools, is now in the Big Ten, and this weekend, the Badgers play USC in a conference game for the first time, so Todd wanted to go there to check it out and bring you the experience. If you want to hear more about that, I recommend checking out the podcast or watch it on YouTube and Twitter. You can see there are some really beautiful shots of Todd out in LA. It looks fantastic. We actually had a few people call in or comment that, is that a green screen? But no, it's real. You should check it out. But for the best of this week, we're taking things in a little bit of a different direction. On Tuesday, Todd was heading out to LA, so Trigley Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project and a friend of the show, stepped up to guest host. He brought along his friend Dave Palmer of the Center for Ballot Freedom to talk about the future of the Republican Party. Has MAGA doomed it? Is there really no way for it to come back? He also shares his expertise on fusion voting and other alternative voting systems, and how they could help Americans' voices be better heard, especially in this age of polarization. If you stick around through the bottom of the hour, you'll hear Todd's conversation with Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area and newly Civic Media's political editor. Dan is crazy enough to keep track of every single legislative race in Wisconsin this November, so he joins us to talk about how you can use his research to stay informed this election season. Once again, thanks for joining us for the best of the Todd Allbaugh Show for this week, and I'll let Sheryl Crow play us into today's episode.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Greetings, everyone, all across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Todd Allbaugh Show. I am not Todd Allbaugh. I'm your guest host, Trigvi Olson, coming to you on radio stations across the great state and from Hayward to Hong Kong, Bangladesh to Bayfield on the Civic Media Radio app and the internet for all of you who are watching the stream. And as I promised, I have a special guest, buddy of mine, Dave Palmer, who's with the Center for Ballot Freedom, coming on. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, and I think this conversation will be applicable not just for people like Todd or myself or Liz Cheney, who are conservatives who feel disenfranchised and are a little bit homeless And so, but I think this conversation will be beneficial to everyone across the political spectrum. And I want to start it off by having Mr. Zomers play a quote from Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney was in Madison. She made national news doing an interview with Peter Baker from the New York Times at Ideas Fest by the Cap Times. I want to play for you what she said, and then I'm going to have Dave from the Center for Ballot Freedom talk with us a little bit about some of the challenges and some of the things that could be done if Liz pursues this route. Mr. Zomers, roll the tape.
I think the majority, I don't have any question, that the majority of Americans don't want somebody like Donald Trump to be the president. The majority of Americans really would like to have a president that their kids can look up to. They really would like a president they know is going to defend the peaceful transfer of power. And I think that's where we have to start. I don't, whether it's organizing a new party, look, it's hard for me to see how the Republican Party, given what it has done, can make the argument convincingly or credibly that people ought to be voting for Republican candidates until it really recognizes what it's done. And so I think, making sure that on an individual basis, we're casting votes for serious, responsible people, that we're encouraging people to get involved and run. There is certainly gonna be a big shift, I think, in how our politics work. I don't know exactly what that will look like. I don't think it will just simply be, well, the Republican Party is going to put up a new, slate of candidates and right off to the races. I think far too much has happened that's too damaging.
Well, so the Republican Party was actually born out of the ashes of a failed party. Are you thinking then there has to be a new party here that you're just suggesting just now, right?
I mean, it may well be because, again, so much of the Republican Party today has allowed itself to become a tool for this really unstable man. And so it certainly has moved away from standing for anything of substance, anything of policy. And I think, we're going to have some entity that actually, can be making the case for the kinds of conservative causes that I believe in terms of a strong national defense.
I think so. We're joined here on the Todd Aubuz Show. I'm Trygve Olsen, guest host, by Dave Palmer from the Center for Ballot Freedom. Dave, Dave and I have known each other for a while, and in the interest of full disclosure, Dave and I work on some stuff together, which is awesome, democracy kind of related stuff. Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then let's get into what Liz is talking about here. And I know you guys do a lot of stuff with fusion voting, which might be, as soon as I heard that, the thought, and it's something you and I've worked on, I immediately thought of that. So give a little bit of your background for listeners, and then let's break down what Liz is saying and some of the challenges that they might encounter, and what some of the ways that maybe that could happen.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for having me here today. Pleasure to be here and to work with you, Trygve. And I feel like we're modeling the world we want to see, because my organization is cross-partisan, works with people across the political spectrum. But I have done a lot of democracy work over my career and come more from the left side of things, and I know you come more from the right side of things, and this is the moment where everyone kind of needs to put aside any policy differences and work together to have a pro-democracy coalition so we can go back to fighting with each other under a set of rules, a rule of law, and a place where there's accountability through what the people want. So anyway, happy to be here. And maybe I'll talk more about myself as we have a conversation about what Ms. Cheney raised, but I'll just say quickly that it's probably most relevant is that I've done some work in New York State with the Working Families Party, which is a smaller third party that exists under New York State's fusion voting regime. And I'm going to guess that your listeners don't know what fusion voting is, because most people I talk to don't know. Though it once existed in Wisconsin and every state in the country, and was banned by either the Democrats or the Republicans, whichever party was in control. And put simply, fusion just enables minor parties to cross-nominate a major party candidate. And why would you want to do that? Well, third parties are typically a waste of time. They may have good ideas and they run noble candidates, but they're often doomed under the two-party system that we have. Under a winner-take-all system, you often end up with two parties, and third parties just cannot break in. They end up either wasting people's votes or, at worst, spoiling an election, kind of helping elect the least preferred candidate. So they can even be dangerous at times. And I think there's the chance of that, you know, with this election potentially. So I think most relevant to your listeners that I care deeply about democracy. I work with people across the political spectrum, and I have this kind of unique experience with fusion voting. I wasn't part of this political party. I didn't do electoral work, but I was a policy advocate who understood that this party had built up some power through its use of fusion voting, and was able to use that power in a governing mode to move forward legislation. So I see real potential should we be able to legalize, or I should say re-legalize fusion state by state for new constructive parties to form, ones that won't be spoilers, won't waste people's votes, but could cross-nominate, one of the two major party candidates and send a signal about their particular platform. And so Liz Cheney did not mention fusion, but I hope she one day does.
So the notion, so what you're saying is with fusion voting is essentially, say Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, and Todd Albaugh, Trig Beals, and whoever, a group of former Republicans came together and said, we're going to form a conservative party that's based on Ronald Reagan's principles of, you know, standing strong in the world, standing up to the Russians, you know, free markets, lower taxes, whatever, contrasting. And the candidates for president, rather than running Mitt Romney and taking votes away from Harris and allowing Donald Trump to win, basically, that conservative party could say, we're going to nominate Harris for president, but you can still vote for our party. But those votes will count for Harris, but we might choose to nominate somebody else in the Senate race in Wisconsin. Or so in some places, we might nominate our own candidates. That's basically what it would do.
Correct. I mean, any party, you know, third party can nominate its own candidate now, and a fusion party certainly could. But the first part of what you said, where they're going to form a party, but say they stand for the issues that you mentioned, say it's, you know, democracy, rule of law, and other, you know, traditionally conservative issues, they could offer their line to either candidate, but in this case, you were suggesting Harris. Yeah, that's exactly right. And the great thing about it is, one, you know, what Liz was saying is she feels like there's no chance of bringing the Republican Party back to where it once was. Maybe that's true, maybe not. One thing a constructive fusion party could do is, if that party were actually to form and help to elect Kamala Harris, that might pull the Republicans towards the center. It also would send a signal to Democrats and pull them towards the center.
This is the Todd Albaugh Show. We'll be right back after the break. I'm Trigvi Olsen. See you on the other side.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. With Mr. Aaron Somers on the board bringing us a little crocus, which says, "I am not Todd Allbaugh, but it is his show." I'm Trigvi Olson, your guest host and regular on the show on Wednesdays. I'm joined by Dave Palmer from the Center for Ballot Freedom. And we're having a really interesting conversation. If you were listening on the other, on the previous side, a little bit about Liz Cheney's remarks in Wisconsin that conservatives might have to form their own new party. And Dave was telling us a little bit about how fusion voting, works. And, one of the questions we got from listeners, I want to go back to what we were talking about, but one of the questions we've gotten from a couple of listeners is, how do fusion and ranked choice voting, how are they similar and how are they different? And I know you work on ballot issues. Talk a little bit about the similarities and differences.
So, I mean, one way to differentiate the two, I think, is we think about fusion voting as being a kind of party-centric reform, whereas ranked choice voting is more about candidates. And the problem with that from our perspective is that to build power, one needs a vessel, and a political party can be that vessel. Whereas if someone is elected with ranked choice, once they go into governing, they become one of the major parties. It's not like there's a group of people or, you know, a political party to kind of back them and continue to exist and send signals. And so we're a little bit more focused on party-centric reform rather than ranked choice voting. I think ranked choice voting is a great reform and best used in primaries. Whereas fusion, to be clear, is just a general election tool. It's something where once you know who's in the general, parties can pick a candidate from among those running in the general.
One of the things about ranked choice, and this is just my experience, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. So, you know, there are now states like Alaska that has ranked choice, and it was confusing for voters at first because it's a completely different voting process. But the other thing that I encountered it quite a bit in Europe when I was working, because in Europe they'll run party lists, and then the people who vote rank within the lists, and I think you're right. It's better for internal party decisions than it is as a mechanism for masses of voting. Whereas it sounds like fusion voting really at the end of the day basically empowers parties, but voters are still doing what they do. They're showing up to vote for
a candidate, and but it kind of combines fusion, because really those two parties, they're almost like ranked choice. They're giving somebody a way I can express dissent without harming the candidate or the without empowering the side I don't want to win, basically.
Yeah. And ranked choice, it does address the spoiler issue, which is a good thing about it. But the broad theory here on the party front, it's interesting, because I had for much of my career considered myself a nonpartisan kind of democracy advocate. And I've come around on this view. My view of political parties for a while, having done a bunch of work in New York, but elsewhere, was that I didn't really love parties either. They seemed to be these big machines that would collect a lot of money, disperse it how they would want, and be fighting against the reforms that we were trying to push. But it's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to then think, well, parties are bad. And I think a lot of people right now, they're frustrated with the Republican Party or they're frustrated with the Democratic Party, and they don't like parties at all. And what they want to do is dismiss parties. And we have a kind of maybe hard to swallow pill on this, but we think the solution to not liking two parties is that we need more parties. We need more constructive parties. It's almost like, if you think about capitalism and competition, it's like political competition. We need more parties. It creates more competition. Competition should improve the behavior of all parties, also incentivize more compromise and cooperation. And the point we were making right before we went to break about, Liz Cheney, if she were to form a party and fusion were legal, and you were saying it could stand for conservative values, could back Kamala Harris. One thing it does is it gives a permission structure for disaffected Republican types, moderates, independents to vote for a Democrat when they may not love the Democratic Party, but they're saying in this particular election, we think this particular Democrat is better than this Republican. But in making that vote, you're able to, as a party, send a signal to both major parties and both candidates. You're saying to the Republican Party, we stand for a lot of the values you traditionally have stood for, but we don't like your particular candidate. If you move towards us, you will get our votes in the future. It's also sending a signal to the Democratic Party that while we're voting for this particular candidate that you're putting forth this time, we don't fully support your entire platform. We stand for these more conservative principles. And if you want our vote in the future, you also need to come towards us. So we think the value of fusion, especially in this moment, is that it would be a kind of moderating force on both major parties. And then the last thing I'll just say is big picture and the long term, this point I was making about, there's two parties, that's usually what exists in a winner-take-all system, and they are incentivized to be at war with each other. And they're getting further and further apart from each other. We're trying to cram 330 million voters into two warring camps, and they don't really fit there. We need more choices for voters, more places for them to go. More parties, we think, will also result in a more stable democracy. So that's why we're working with people across the political spectrum. It may do certain things in this moment. In the long term, political parties can pop up across the political spectrum, likely be proportional to the number, their power will be proportionate to the number of voters they have, and they can fight for the things that they believe in through that vessel.
Thanks again to Trigby Olson and Dave Palmer for filling in while Todd was away and providing some excellent insight. Up next, Todd's back and you'll hear from Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area on what he's been up to. Stick around on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
This is a special report from ABC News. Hezbollah leader killed. I'm Dave Packer. Israel says its strike on Hezbollah headquarters in Lebanon killed the militant group's leader, as we heard this morning from IDF Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari.
Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of the terrorist army Hezbollah, was killed by Israel Defense Forces in a precise strike in Beirut last night.
Hezbollah confirming the death in what could be the most significant blow after months of fighting. And Israel's attack on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon continuing today. ABC's Tom Sophie Borage has more from Tel Aviv.
Israel warning that wave of attacks overnight in southern Beirut are not the end of its toolbox. But I think here in Israel and across this region, there is unease about what comes next. How will Hezbollah's backer, Iran, respond?
Lebanon's health ministry says more than 720 people have been killed in that country since the conflict with Israel escalated on Monday. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Bucky heads west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Wisconsin Badgers take on USC today as UW tries to rebound from a loss to Alabama 2 weeks ago. Head coach Luke Fickle said he expects to start making big plays the rest of the season.
The plays are there. We just got to find ways to finish. We got to find ways to understand that effort is going to overcome a lot of those things.
Kickoff today is at 2:30 p.m. You can stream the game on the free Civic Media app on WRJN, WRCE, WFHR, or WLAK, or listen on any of those stations live today. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, 8-4 on Friday. The playoffs begin Tuesday for the Brewers in the wild card round. The Green Bay Packers play tomorrow against the Minnesota Vikings. Starting quarterback Jordan Love is listed as questionable for the game. He's missed two games with an MCL sprain. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Northern Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and a high near 81. Clear tonight, lows around 48. Sunshine and 77 for Sunday. Mostly clear Sunday night with a low around 47. For Monday, sunshine and highs in the mid-70s. Much cooler Tuesday.
Right now, it's 49.
This is the final weekend of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Don't miss your last chance for adventure. There's hilarious entertainment, delicious food and drink, live armored jousting, and our marketplace is a shopper's dream. Discount tickets available at Cub Foods, Menards, Quick Trip, and Walgreens. This is our closing weekend, so the gates will be open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Get your on-site parking pass and plan your adventure at renaissancefest.com. Only 3 days left this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
The green and gold, tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space
and as timeless as infinity.
Hey, man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
Welcome back live to Los Angeles. It's the All Ball Show in Civic Media and the recombobulation area. Yes, as a matter of fact, it's space. It's a dimension that travels with you wherever you go, whether you're in Wisconsin or here in Southern California. And many thanks to Luke Mathers and also Will Walter for putting that great intro. It's the best intro we have, you understand, in my opinion, in Civic Media. And the person it's all about is our new political editor and also the founder of the recombobulation area, easy for me to say, Dan Schaefer, who joins us via StreamYard back in Milwaukee. Dan, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Always always a pleasure to join you.
It's always our pleasure to have you here. How's your fall going? Now you got the new gig here. The recombobulation area has been kind of folded into Civic Media. We're so excited to have you as our political editor. How's the new gig been going so far?
It's been going great. I think it's an amazing fit that we have between the recombobulation area and Civic Media. And, you know, we've been pretty busy. What a time to be doing something new here in the state of Wisconsin with just a couple months to go before an election day. I don't know if you've heard.
Something tells me, yes, I have heard. Now, here's what I love about this, because we spend a lot of time, because it's kind of the quote-unquote sexy political issue, is the big presidential race. And, of course, it's important, and Wisconsin is kind of ground zero for Harris and Trump. They and their surrogates have been, and will continue to be up until election day in the state. But I think that at least a lot of us forget sometimes, or gets overlooked, there are a lot of legislative races that are of vast importance. And in some ways, Dan, what happens to the outcome of this state Senate and assembly races is going to actually have a greater impact on Wisconsinites' daily lives than perhaps the national elections.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And not only is it just really important every year to be paying attention to these state legislative races, you know, that will, you know, have so much of a say in your healthcare, your education, so many different issues. This is a remarkable election that we have ahead of us this year, because finally we have new, fairer maps for the state of Wisconsin in the state legislature. We've been under the thumb of one of the most egregious partisan gerrymanders anywhere in the country that has made Republicans entrenched power in the state legislature. It's been easier for them to get a two-thirds supermajority than it's been for Democrats to get a simple majority here in this, you know, in this 50-50 swing state, like you said, where we have visits from campaign surrogates every hour, it seems like, now in the state of Wisconsin. But these races are such a big deal, and we have new maps, and I think that really sets up a really interesting election. So I wrote a piece about that at the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media called New Board, New Game, that really kind of tried to preview the what's happening in this year's election. And then along with that, went through and did a full comprehensive district by district breakdown of every last race in the Wisconsin state legislature. Yes, I'm the only guy crazy enough to preview all 115 races. My assembly preview clocked in at something like 10,000 words. But you can take a look at it district by district. And in the Civic Media voter guide, punch in your zip code and find out which legislative race is going to be on your ballot in your neck of the woods. And, you know, to zoom out then, the big picture of this is that in the state Senate, those are four-year terms. So the likelihood of the majority being changing hands this year is pretty low. But in the assembly, where every single one of those 99 members, every single one of those 99 seats is on the ballot every 2 years, there is a real chance for Democrats to flip the assembly and take the gavel away from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. So I think we are you know, just over 40 days away here. And one of the things that I think is really interesting with this is that we have so many more competitive races that are going to ultimately determine the majority. Previously, under these gerrymandered maps, you had a lot of safe red seats. You had a fewer number of safe blue seats and not a whole lot in the middle. Well, this year we've got 8 toss-ups that I've identified in the assembly. When I did this preview 2 years ago at the recombobulation area, that number was only 1. So wow. I think we're going to have a lot more competitive races, and you know, it's going to reflect the and a lot of those competitive races are in some of the swingier parts of the state. You know, Western Wisconsin, Fox Valley and Green Bay, the Milwaukee area suburbs, some of these places that you already will identify as swing regions of the state. It's actually reflected in the maps for the first time in a long time. What a concept, right?
Yeah, right. Super interesting. I want to get to specific races, but spend a minute, if you will, Dan Schaefer, on how crazy are you? I mean, you put this thing together. When I first started at Civic a couple of years ago, we used this on election night. We gave you credit, of course, but I was just blown away by this. How do you come about creating this? And again, how can people utilize it?
Yeah, so it's a lot of research and a lot of reporting and a lot of data that I fold into this. So not only is it, you know, just taking a look at the head-to-heads, it's researching. You know, there's a state legislative preview election site called CAnalysis. I use their data, and they make a call for each race. They got 98 out of 99 correct 2 years ago, so they've been pretty good at this stuff. I use data from Marquette University researcher John D. Johnson. And then, you know, part of it's just like looking up and Googling every last candidate, every single race. So, you know, in every race, you can, on our preview online, you can click the name of the candidate and it'll take you to their campaign page. And you can take a look at what's there and just researching the news. And one of the things I think is really important that we're able to do with this preview is kind of put things into categories. And so I think that often takes a lot of the time, is figuring out which race leans, you know, more Republican, which race is maybe closer to the center, and what are the toss-up races, the close races, who might be the favorites. So there's a lot of, you know, kind of organization that goes into making this this long, crazy preview.
And what's your favorite beverage while you do this, Dan?
depends on what time of day. Either okay, Valentine's exactly, coffee down the street here in Milwaukee, or it's a Miller High Life long night.
Oh, very good. Miller, the champagne of beers. That's right. What I have when I go to a Brewers game.
It's a good
fantastic.
One.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Dan Schaefer, our new fantastic political editor and founder of Recombobulation Area. Help us recombobulate on these assembly races. What are the top 2 or 3 things races in the assembly that you think are up for grabs?
Yeah, so for so long in the assembly, Republicans have had 60 or more seats ever since this gerrymander was implemented in 2012. I don't think that the Republicans are going to get anywhere close to that this year, because I think there are a number of seats across the state, you know, especially in Dane County, in and around Dane County in western Wisconsin, where Democrats will be picking up seats. And some of those are, you know, pretty safe blue districts. But when you look, you know, at some of the toss-ups, it reflects a lot of places that haven't had competitive races in a while. One example that really stands out is District 26 in and around the city of Sheboygan. Now, in Sheboygan, under previous maps, there was a line drawn right down the middle of the city, basically splitting it into 2 red districts. Now, Sheboygan's about a 45,000 person town. The normal population for an assembly district is just under 60,000. So you'd think all of Sheboygan could be contained in one district. Well, of course, that wasn't the case under gerrymandered maps. It is the case now. So all of Sheboygan is in one district, and lo and behold, it is one of these toss-up seats. So we have Democrat Joe Sheehan running against Republican incumbent Amy Binsfeld. Sheehan is a pretty strong candidate. He was the superintendent of the Sheboygan Area School District for 17 years, and after retiring, became the executive director of the Sheboygan County Economic Development Corporation. So with that type of experience and you know, connection to the community, he's a pretty strong candidate to flip this seat in favor of Democrats. So that is definitely one that stands out to me. And, Sheboygan has been denied a fair representation, a fair shot at having a Democrat in office. It's going to be interesting to see if there's, you know, some kind of pent up energy in places like Sheboygan that have had this type of environment in the state legislature.
Yeah. And again, Dan, what you just hit on is so important, I think, is now these lines, instead of being drawn where people are like, well, why the heck is my neighbor in one district and I'm in the other, I'm across the road, it makes a lot more sense and makes it more competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one I'd like to point out here, since the city's been in the news today, the city of Wausau has been in the news today after the Republican mayor there was I don't know, moving around one of the drop boxes that they've got in town. Pretty wild story. But this is also one of the, you know, the projection site that I was looking at really puts this as the tipping point seat in the state assembly for who is going to win control. In District 85, you have Democrat Yi Ling Zhang running against Republican incumbent Patrick Snyder. Now, this is a district that is a true swing district. Tony Evers won it by 1% in the 2022 midterms, and Ron Johnson won it by 3% that same year. So you have one of these Evers-Johnson districts, a Republican incumbent, and Yi Ling Zhang has been a really strong fundraiser. He's a really strong candidate, well-known in the Wausau area. And I think, you know, that could ultimately be the one to determine which party is in the majority come next year.
Anything that might be a little bit of, I don't want to say blowback, but of course, the very popular, more progressive mayor, Katie Rosenberg, it was a surprise to many people that she got beat in that mayoral race. Do you think that's going to kind of re-energize the Democratic folks there in the Wausau area to get involved in this race?
Yeah, it could serve as some kind of wake-up call. And I think with the story we're seeing about the drop boxes this week, you know, there's been some pretty strong reactions to that from what we've seen so far. So that could be really interesting. And Yi Ling Zhang, I think, you know, he has been the executive director of the Hmong American Center for the last decade. He could tap into a voter base that, you know, might not often be as represented in central Wisconsin as well.
3 minutes here before the first break. We'll bring you back after that if you have time. But, Dan, give us another race. Dan Schaefer, our political editor here at Civic Media of the Recombobulation Area. What is another up-for-grabs race in the Wisconsin State Assembly this month or this fall?
Yeah, one that I definitely have had circled from this is a rematch of 2022 in the Milwaukee area suburbs. It is Democrat Lou Ann Bird against Republican incumbent Bob Donovan. Bob Donovan, very well known here in the Milwaukee area. He served on the Milwaukee Common Council for 20 years. He ran for mayor twice, and he won one of the closest races on the map a couple years ago against Lou Ann Bird, and Bird is running again. She has some terrific experience as well, serving on school boards in her community there. She was also the former executive director of the League of Women's Voters. I wrote a long profile of her campaign 2 years ago, and she really puts civility and respect kind of at the forefront of her campaign. And I think it's going to be, you know, really interesting to see, you know, she was kind of more of a newcomer in that race last time, going against somebody with a ton of name recognition in the area. It's going to be interesting to see if she, you know, is able to kind of close that gap and get it over the finish line this time in a slightly different district than it was before.
Yeah, well, these rematches are always interesting because, particularly when it's close like that, you kind of build that first race and get your name ID, so to speak, out there, and then it really, you're now at least people are well known, and you know, it does this become a blue wave, so to speak, in Wisconsin due to women's reproductive rights or top of the ticket issues? Does that bring more progressives and more Democrats out, or those independents who vote that way, are they going to ticket split in these assembly races? So for guys like us who are nerdy about it, it makes it a really exciting evening on election night.
Yeah, and this one was decided by just over 500 votes 2 years ago. So, you know, this is definitely an extremely close one, and I think this one might get some national attention as well.
I know all about losing assembly races by 500 votes myself. As they say, being close only counts in grenades and horseshoes, Dan Schaefer, not in politics, as it turns out. Can you stay with us one more segment?
Absolutely.
All right, come on back. It's Dan Schaefer, our political editor here at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area. I'm feeling better already. We'll finish recombobulating when we come back live from Los Angeles. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show, live from Los Angeles on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now...
Thanks for sticking with us on the best of the Todd Allbaugh Show for the last full week of September. Once again, I'm Aaron, Todd's producer, and here we're finishing up the conversation with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's political editor. Enjoy.
And then from 4 until 6, Dominic Selvia with the Dom Selvia Show, and from 6 until... into the evening, it is a Nightlight with Pete Swaba. Pete Swaba has Charo on. Is that tonight, Zomers?
I think so.
I think you remember Charo, don't you, Dan Schaefer?
I do. I saw that come through and
coochie coochie coo. You know, I mean, like, you know, for the big appearances of the Love Boat. This is fantastic. I can't Charo on Pete Schwab's Nightlight tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm looking forward to this. Tom from Maine, watching us on the old YouTube channel, there says, "Was it
or Andrew?"
Yeah, Andrew, sorry, Andrew in Maine says, "Where is Ivy the cat? Is discombobulated because some visitor keeps trying to sleep in their bed." I was not sleeping in Ivy's bed, I don't think. But no, I want to go back to the other one. What did Andrew say? Here, Todd is so discombobulated because he had to fly through Atlanta and into L.A., and they do not have a Dan Schaefer or a recombobulation area in LAX. 100% right. And if you don't know out there, correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, the whole recombobulation area name came from at Milwaukee Airport when you go through TSA and you're all discombobulated and your clothes are everywhere. There's a recombobulation area. And it did, right?
And it is a uniquely Milwaukee thing. There are no other airports in the country that have a recombobulation area. So, you know. Only in Milwaukee, and I guess only now here on the Civic Media Network can you really get recombobulated.
So we're going to get recombobulated. Dan Schaefer, our political editor, helping us do that. We were talking before the break, Dan, about assembly races, the ones that are tight that Democrats could win here. Are there one or two that Republicans, because of these new maps, might have a shot of knocking a Democrat off or winning an open seat?
Yeah, I think, you know, just the overall numbers will just suggest that it's going to be hard for Republicans to make any gains. They couldn't really gerrymander themselves any further. But there are some really key swing areas that I think Republicans are going to have a better chance in than they may have in previous years. And I think one of the things that I think has happened because of these new maps, because we are in this post-gerrymander environment, is that I think Republicans had to take their candidate recruitment a little bit more seriously. So I was just thinking about the 2022 race. There was one candidate in a kind of a toss-up Republican-leaning seat who was, you know, tweeting in support of the insurrection January 6th and saying all sorts of like COVID conspiracy type stuff. There's not any of those candidates really running in competitive or toss-up seats this year. And I think Republicans took that candidate recruitment a little bit more seriously. One district that I have circled there that I think the math of the district suggests that it could be a Democratic pickup, but I have it in the toss-up category, is District 53 in the Fox Valley. You know, as a UW Oshkosh grad myself, I know that the Fox Valley can be a very swingy region of the state. And this is going to be an important one. And Republicans were able to recruit Dean Coffert, former assembly rep, and he was the mayor of Neenah for 8 years to be the a candidate here. And, you know, with that kind of wealth of experience, with that kind of notoriety within the district, that name recognition can really go a long way. And he's running against Democrat Dwayne Schakowsky, who is seems like a terrific candidate on his own, but he's also a political newcomer. So, you know, he worked for in the union at Kimberly-Clark for nearly four decades. But again, is a political newcomer. To what extent that's going to factor into the race, I think will be interesting. But with, you know, a candidate like Coffert, you know, he's a Republican who voted against the controversial Act 10 law when he was in office. So, you know, more of a moderate than a lot of the other candidates Republicans have put forth in the past. Another one I think they have an advantage in, where, again, I think the math suggests that the Democrats could pick up a seat, is in District 21. That is a Milwaukee County seat in Oak Creek, is kind of the main population center in that district. Jesse Rodriguez is the Republican incumbent there. She's certainly not in the crazy wing of the Assembly Republicans. She has outrun the top of the ticket a couple different times. So, you know, even though the math suggests that the Democrat could win and flip this race, again, I put this one into toss-up territory because I think Rodriguez is a strong candidate. She's running against the candidate David Marstellar that is not as experienced as some of the other Democrats on the ticket. So I think that is certainly one that, you know, is going to be very, very close.
2 minutes left. Very quickly, a little business for you folks out there listening in our text to win contest. About less than five minutes left to text the word green, G-R-E-E-N, green. Text green right now to the Civic Media app for a chance. Someone's going to win some gold jewelry this hour and then entered in for those green and gold tickets up there in Green Bay for Monday night, taking on the team from New Orleans in December. All right, Dan Schaefer, all of 90 seconds. Give us the state Senate in 90 seconds.
Well, you mentioned Green Bay, and I'll just talk a little bit about Green Bay here, because there's a toss-up race in the state Senate happening there, and there are two toss-up races happening in the state assembly. In the Senate, it's Democrat Jamie Wall against Republican Jim Rafter. And I think the road to the assembly majority really goes through Brown County, goes down Lombardi Avenue. The 88th and 89th district are going to be incredibly crucial to see which party ultimately wins the majority.
Very, very interesting, Dan. And of course, Rob Coles, longtime Republican, retired up there. So I think that's going to create some opportunities for folks as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Dan Schaefer, our political editor and founder of Recombobulation Area. I feel better. Thank you for helping us recombobulate. We'll have you on soon. And great work on this great political primer. It can be found at civicmedia.us and also the Recombobulation Area. Thank you so much, Dan.
Thanks so much, Todd. Be well.
That is all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you next week.
Keep banging on, and your day will come. Keep banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
Civic Media. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kelderoy is on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.